Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's go.
Let's have a little jog.
Follow me. Good morning.
Morning.
It's Running Commentary, and we've come somewhere different.
A little bit different today.
Yeah.
In Victoria Park.
In an incredibly, a blazing, if you will,
yes.
June day.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it really is. It's a solid heat, isn't it? It's
I'm going to check. I didn't just pull my thing out.
Okay.
It'd be
cool.
Annoying if I had, but
cool.
Best to check it. It is a solid heat.
Yeah.
In fact, if there weren't so many gorgeous young people here, I'd take my top off.
Mate,
I'm not prepared to do it.
Come on, mate. Don't,
I'm not
don't
do
deny
it.
Them.
Don't deny them the treat.
The vision.
That is. Oh, it is blooming a little bit like a fiction of a park, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
so
gorgeous,
many
yeah.
people. Everyone's distanced, of course. But
scene of the Victoria Park 10K.
Absolutely.
Fast and flat.
We'll pick up that course as we come through.
Yeah.
And know exactly how non-existent that hill that became a bit of a pain was.
Yeah.
Hill!
The imaginary
someone,
hill.
Says someone somewhere. So, how have you been?
Well, I'll tell you what, I had an appalling night's sleep.
How did, any particular reason?
I got to bed at a reasonable time.
Yeah.
One of the kids woke me up with music at like 1:30 in the morning.
Right.
And then I sort of texted him and said, off! Just a quick kind of, and he turned it off, but...
You're awake and angry then.
I was awake, but I was also...
It can be there's a moment, isn't there, when you've been asleep for like an hour and a half, if you get woken up, it can really mess you right.
Yeah, well, it kind of... There's no getting around it. I ended up really... getting some, what felt quite disturbing at that point, quite tight chest pains.
Right.
So I couldn't find a comfortable position to sleep. And Rachel's away up north. I just thought, this is it. I'm off. I'm going to die now.
What kind of chest pains?
How embarrassing.
Give us some details.
No, just a tightness. There was nothing going down my arms or jaw. Or do you know what I mean? It wasn't scary, but it was just...
Did your forehead go on fire?
Pardon?
Did your forehead go on fire?
No.
But it just made me...
It just made me tense, and I couldn't find my position to sleep, you know. And, of course, it's the witching hour, isn't it? So that stuff starts going, and it only gets worse, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Because night equals stress.
Yeah.
Too much time with yourself.
But I eventually got to sleep, but it was just enough to... disrupt my sleep a lot and leave me feeling a little bit discombobulated this morning.
Yeah, although also glad to wake up this morning.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the first thing I did was Google, and I'm sorry that this is a slightly dark opening to the normal service will be resumed. I Googled what time do heart attacks mostly occur between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m.
I see.
So that's going to relax me
so
next time I wake up.
To a doctor, do you think you had a mild heart attack in the night?
No, I don't think so, no.
Do you think we should be running?
I think it might have been some sort of... I don't know. I honestly don't know. It might have been something I've eaten. Very occasionally, I get it. And I don't know what it is. But I feel fine to run. It's just, what are you going to do, you know?
Well,
what else can you
not run in case you die? There's one thought.
Yeah, but No, I prefer to run, to be honest. And I should be okay, but there is a genetic predisposition to it on the mother's side of my family.
Right.
A lot of, like, Yorkshire lads on her side went in the sort of mid-50s.
Right.
But they did live on a diet of...
pies and wasps.
Well, no, almost... just basically fat, just like just fatty cakes, pork pies, you know. I mean, just an appalling diet and no exercise at all.
Yeah.
And my dad's side, along, they live for ages, so you just don't know, do you?
Yeah.
But it was just one of the, it wasn't a great night, you know.
Yeah, I hear that. Oh, well.
And how about you? Did you sleep all right?
What?
My head fell off at 3 a.m. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, yeah. I woke up, my eyes opened, flickered open at 2.
Right.
This guy's standing over my bed with a gun.
Yeah.
And a scythe.
Yeah.
So, no. You know, it is strange. It's a very odd coincidence. Because I woke up last week in the night with serious chest pains.
Did you really?
Absolutely.
Honestly?
Yeah. Well, so it's a slightly different thing because I wasn't thinking it was a... I didn't think it was any kind of a... it didn't cross my mind that it was anything to do with my heart.
Right.
My immediate impression was that it was my core.
Right, okay.
It was a really bad kind of like imagine if you had a real absolute insurmountable headache.
Right.
But in your rib cage.
Right, okay.
And I've had it a couple of times in my life before. Not often, but it's, you know, occasional, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And one of those times was straight after... first time I did a marathon.
Right.
So, you know, I think of it as being directly related to too much running. By the end of last week, I come to a conclusion that, because we said, didn't we, I was just at the risk of overtraining a little bit. Do you remember when we went out last the other day and I was saying, just this morning I started to feel like taking going for a run, you know?
Yeah.
After running really fast a couple of times and
not taking
my tape a week and that.
After pushing it quite a bit, yeah.
And anyway, it was 12 and a quarter in the end on Tuesday.
Right.
And I didn't do any stretching or exercise or anything.
Right.
I didn't even do my plank, which is, at the time I was like, oh, I didn't do my plank. Because I do that every day.
Yeah.
But that night, yeah, I just woke up in really bad pain.
Right.
Didn't get some painkillers. I could still kind of feel it the next day.
Right.
And I was just worried it was... I wasn't worrying it was my heart. I was worried it was going to turn into a cough.
Right.
I was checking I could smell.
Yeah.
And, like I said, by the end of the week, I thought, well, what's happened there is I've overtrained.
Right.
And I've actually been really lucky. Oh, let's go this way. It's really
nice. Go right round.
Little side loop through the meadows. I'll get a picture. I've been really lucky, Morning Magpie, that, you know, my body has just sent a kind of general stress signal.
Right.
Rather than any kind of twanging.
Yes. Yeah.
Leg or foot injury or whatever else it might
right.
be, you know, when one overdoes it.
Yeah.
And so I took it a little bit easy the rest of the week.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
I still did the running, still did the exercises, but I didn't do any fast running.
Right.
And I didn't do quite as many planks. And I took 2 straight days entirely off at the weekend, which doesn't sound like much, but it's more than I normally do.
What, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, why not?
That was going to be my exciting physical story, but frankly, yours was...
welcome,
first and more dramatic.
Welcome to running commentary. Welcome to Cardio Hour.
Could it be anything to do with our age?
As these two old-timers ramp up their tickers for another run round the park.
Gosh, it's so up and down, isn't it? I think it is I don't know how much, we haven't talked about what running and stuff you did last week, but I do think that the great lesson of summer 2020 is how to... try and be a steady, you know, do sort of steady, even things in your life.
Yeah.
And that throws into sharp relief how pretty much everything goes in waves from being terrible to being brilliant to being
fine
to being messed up. You know, you can't help it. Like the waves breaking on the beach.
I've got some, I was looking at Facebook, some clubmates ran, I think they ran to Gatwick.
Right.
On Sunday. They ran 50 kilometres. That's a long way, isn't it?
Yeah, from around here.
I mean, that's 31 miles, isn't it?
It's not only a long way, it's a really horrible way. I'd have run north.
I don't know which way they did it.
What's the ugliest airport?
I mean, there's pictures of them, you know, on the road or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, they did 50K, yeah.
Wow. So...
So some people have used this kind of Gatwick, no racing.
So they went there, they ran there and then got
the train back.
The train back, yeah.
Yeah. So some people have used this to just get super, super fit.
Yeah.
And when the races come back, they're just going to be absolutely flying, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's...
Well, I feel like that. I was feeling so strong last week.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it was just like a massive alarm bell. And you said, you know, the only little connector to that was you saying... I was out running and I decided not to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're talking about slipping from the need to want and stuff.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I did 12 miles yesterday.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. I don't think that was why I nearly died. I think it was...
And I don't think that phrase is over-dramatising.
No, things. No, not at all.
Still, 12 miles and chest pains.
Yeah,
snap!
Yeah. Yeah, I did... Quite a weird weekend because Rachel's away.
Yeah, that's always weird, isn't it? We talked about this a long time ago.
Yeah.
So how is, you know, are you maintaining life or is it all spiralling?
No, we're doing okay. The first night was
are the rest of you, are the four of you at home?
Yes, all the kids are.
Yeah, yeah.
The first night was an Indian takeout.
Yeah.
Which was a bit of a relapse. I promise not to do that. Yeah. And then and now we've eaten quite well, actually.
Well done.
It's been fine. I mean, the kids have been... I went a bit long on Friday night. Just stayed up a bit too much.
Yeah.
A bit too late, drank a bit too much. I had a very intense chat with a friend from Australia who's going through a really ugly custody battle.
Right.
And he was asking me for advice. It's very hard to give advice when you've never been in that situation.
Yeah.
I was trying to be there for him, but it was really intense.
You can give counsel, can't you?
You can listen.
But you don't want to say anything in case you send someone the wrong way.
Yeah, you can listen.
Yeah.
And then my father-in-law died.
Oh, gosh.
On Friday.
Oh,
not on Thursday. So that's why Rachel's
sorry.
Gone. No, it's fine. That's why Rachel's gone up north.
Yeah, yeah,
to be
course.
With a mum.
No, and he wasn't well, was he? That's right.
No, he wasn't well for a long time.
Yeah.
So he went really, really quickly. And just a combination of... him going, really intense chat with a mate I couldn't really help.
Yeah.
Just kind of sent me off a little bit.
Well, I would say, you know, I don't want to... I'm not making light of anything, but just so to ease your mind. There's definitely stress there, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a feeling of mortality.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And that can lead to pain too.
Yes,
I mean,
yeah,
you know what I was saying about my pain thing?
Yeah.
I had it once after a marathon, like I say. And another time, I think I'd been doing a lot of running, but the thing that set it off, or the thing that happened straight after, was I went down to a gig. It's that gig in Bournemouth. Do you remember that gig?
All right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I bumped into an old friend of mine from the village I grew up in.
Yeah.
Nowhere near Bournemouth. I was like, oh, hi, wow, what a lovely surprise. But this old friend of mine, she was rattled.
Right.
She had not had a good life in between.
Oh, no.
And she had had...
Oh, dear.
Hard drugs.
Right.
It was like, yeah. Oh, hello, old friend.
Yeah.
Oh, I see you're properly homeless.
Yeah,
and that was
real.
And the stress of that,
yeah,
you know, manifested as pain.
Yeah,
so stress and mortality and time passing.
Yes.
You know, that's what happened.
I think so, yeah. And we're still in this sort of... the middle of this reset, aren't we? We don't quite know what it means for us. I mean,
no.
A lot of people do for their industry, but you've just got no real idea
no.
What we're resetting to, do we?
No.
So that's not without stress.
No, completely.
As with the rest of the world, of course. I mean, there's so many people in that scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I still think only from a certain perspective that there's a kind of luxury, if only in the clarity of how closed the comedy clubs are.
Yes, but
still for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we could go to a shop. Can I open my shop? Well, is it going to be a distance shop? We can sort of go to the shop. I don't know if it's wise to go to the shop. Well, should we go to the comedy store? No.
Yeah.
It's closed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's easier, isn't it?
But we
it's
can
better.
But we can see them online.
Yes.
Yeah. And how about, what did you get up to over the weekend? Anything? Anything goes on? Are you? Have you been round to other people's gardens yet?
Yeah, we did that last week.
Right.
Friday week ago.
Yeah.
Which was fun. Really nice and very, you know, very appropriately achieved.
Yeah.
Our friends that live just around the corner and have got a side gate and all this stuff.
Right.
But the only thing about it was, it was one of the few times this summer when the weather wasn't very nice.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was freezing.
Yeah.
Just my wife had mild hypothermia.
Right.
She was not warm again for about a day and a half.
Just go round and shiver in someone's garden.
So it's so nice to see you. Yeah. Which, of course, also makes it, you know, you need a wee anyway with all the drinking.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
No, it was very nice. My daughter went to see a friend yesterday. It is so good for the soul to go and see someone.
Yeah.
I have to say, it made me realise.
Yeah, it absolutely
talking
does.
To my daughter about it yesterday, I hadn't really, it's blindingly obvious, but I hadn't noticed how nice it is that we do this.
Yeah.
Because early on, it was such a technical challenge. You know, it was kind of part of the stress of the thing.
Yeah.
And then we settled into that, and then we were able to do this. I didn't notice how
social.
Lucky we are.
Yeah, yeah, social.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I see my family getting twitchy.
Yeah.
And they're being really nice about it, saying, I like you guys, just be good to talk to someone else. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, we have been lucky to do that.
Yeah. And I do run with my wife every week as well. And that's properly like a therapy
session.
That's
been great
session.
To get it up, yes. Great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I went to pick up my son George from Manchester.
So look, there's a canal.
All right. I picked up George from Manchester University, so he's left now.
Yeah.
Because he'd gone back for a couple of weeks.
Right.
So that was...
Was that specific? Was like to go and check in or to move out?
I think it was to just say goodbye to his mates properly that he'd been with for 3 years, you know.
Yeah,
because
of course.
In mid-March and everyone left, it was really like fleeing Vietnam or something. It was like...
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Quick, get a copter. We're going.
Last plane out of Berlin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So they just hung out and did stupid things that students do, and they had a great time, you know.
Yeah.
And now he's looking at it and looking for courses and jobs to apply to. But
what's he going to be doing in the autumn, do you know?
He doesn't know, because he doesn't know what's going to happen. I mean, he's got mates who are going to be doing documentary filmmaking courses, and they've been pulled
because
of COVID. Just a lot's just got getting pulled, you know.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to wait and see. It's going to be a test of patience. He's got a vague idea.
He hasn't trained as a doctor. I don't think he can test patients.
Yeah. He's got a vague idea to study coding and sort of get that qualification and then postgraduate jobs or whatever. But who knows? A lot of his mates wanted to go and travel, but that doesn't look so attractive as it did.
Yeah, it's not the time, is it?
Yeah.
Just getting a picture of the canal. It's a blooming coot squeaking down there.
On the canal, very nice.
Look at that. And there goes Paul. It's so brilliant how often pictures of you running, rather pictures with you in, you know, if it was in a magazine, we always get nice pictures of you kind of running along, but more often than not, it's just you with your hands and hips waiting.
Yeah. Come waiting, on. Waiting for Rob to stop taking pictures.
Stop taking bloody pictures, supposed to be out for a run.
Yeah, so it's a big confusion for them, really.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's important to try and be optimistic amidst the endless trauma and conflict in the news, and realise how reasonable most people are, and how
I really felt that. You remember how last week people kept interacting with us?
Yeah,
and a lot of it was really positive.
Yeah,
I really did feel that last week. That almost like London was socially making the point.
Yes,
that this is a nice place and we all get on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, which of course it normally doesn't. There's lots of good stand-up jokes about people not talking to each other, interacting. Generally, the more people there are in a situation, the easier it is to not interact with anyone.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
My family always taken the mickey out of me because of the time when, you know, we're in the mountains and you walk in, you see someone, you say hello, and you know, pass time of day or whatever. We were in the Lake District on holiday, and I was in that habit. And of course, I love it. I'm your number one helloer.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were in a village, and we're in a lay-by. Everyone's sort of parking up and getting ready for the day. So there's actually quite a few people around.
Yeah.
And I was walking up, I don't know, paid for parking or something. There's two people by their car, and I said, hello, as if we're on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
And then my family's like, what are you doing? Yeah. It's two young women kind of getting into the walking gear, you know. Standing possibly, you know, in bras.
Yeah.
And this bloke comes along and goes, hello.
Hello. You're getting changed.
Yeah. An hour later on top of the mountain, that would have been reasonable. Yeah. As it was.
Premature.
It was obviously completely wrong, to the point where my family are still reminding me of it 5-10 years later.
I mean, you are your own reality, aren't you? So I always think London's a friendly place.
Yeah.
Because I am. But of course it isn't. No, always.
But it totally can be. You know, yeah, it's more a question of, I think people take a negative sense of society from a crowded place where people don't interact, you know.
Yeah.
And those two things aren't the same. And yeah, this week, the vibe has been consistently and willfully good. Like, total, you know, just, I was running the other day and someone on the pavement started a long conversation with me about yoga.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Look at these magpies.
Look at
you said you missed me saying
look
good
at
morning.
The magpies.
That's two for joy, mate.
Look at the magpies.
Right there.
Two for joy.
Little sods. I got them on camera. It's official, joy, so we can relax.
Nice. That's good. That's good.
No, I'll keep running. You know, and on Saturday, like you say, you know, the news cycle, the blue internet.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, of course, it's the news. You know?
Yes.
You're supposed to say a friendly person smiled and said hello today.
Yeah.
But equally,
that's not news. Yeah.
You know, there was a Black Lives Matter rally in Newington Green.
Yeah, I heard it was amazing.
It was so lovely.
Yeah.
Everyone
was
being sensible in terms of social distancing. It was massively diverse.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, absolutely run through with young people, first and foremost.
Yeah.
And, of course, loads of black people.
Yeah.
Just everyone, you know?
Yeah.
Old people, people of all different sort of life choices, like bohemians, activists.
Yes.
Kids. And everyone on exactly the same page, you know?
Yeah.
And making a point, getting angry, but getting angry in a sunny, friendly, communal way. And then to come home and see the angry racists in Parliament Square. It was awful. But it's not everything. It's not what was happening.
It's not everything in my hometown.
And it did give us a bit of balance.
And there's also...
thank goodness we went, you know, because of course it was scary. We had to...
Oops.
You know, we've got been, you know how careful I am, and that goes right through the house, and kids barely go out and stuff. So me and my daughter going down there was a mission, you know?
Yeah.
But we were so glad we'd been.
No, I heard it was really good fun. It was,
I think also just going back to your bereavement. Everyone's on different pages, aren't they? I mean,
yes.
That's a different weekend again.
Yeah. But some people are just out for... They just haven't had a fight for a while, are they? That's a lot... Those football lads, they're just...
Yeah.
It's sunny, they've had a drink, they've had a bit of beak, they're on the cobbles, they just want to... They're just awful people.
Yeah, stunted, you know, this is, like you say, it's a way to express yourself.
Yeah, they've been cooped up, there's been no games.
Yeah.
But then you've got the... I met a guy on the Parkland Way. I was out walking with my dog, and he just looked a bit sort of angry, but old school, but a bit vulnerable.
Yeah.
I started talking to him. He's a... he was like ex-special forces. He had post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
And he didn't go into town, but at the same time, he felt real profound misery at the way that some elements don't respect some statues in town.
Yeah.
And he's given his life to it.
Yeah.
And he feels that he's part of some shameful episodes in British history and etc. And his pain was really real.
Yeah.
And there's a massive spectrum of reactions to it.
That's right.
And it's important not to...
I don't think the news media really cover this as well, because, you know, in some ways they're responding, in other ways they kind of feed.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know, I think that
Totally.
You know, you could say that right now the hub of the conversation is around this statue of Winston Churchill in the middle of town, and that's just, it's just not what the conversation ought to be about. And I know they need to talk about it, but that's triggering for that guy, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To open the paper and see that.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, but then there was that great photo of the black geezer picking up the white fellow and carrying him away to safety.
Yeah.
And that guy, hearing that guy talk, he's amazing.
Yeah, what a wonderful story and such a great focus again for the news.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what a strong centred bloke with his head screwed on.
He was fantastic.
I just picked him up and, you know, it's amazing, isn't it?
He was a fine man. And then other takes. I saw Julia Hartley Brewer talking about the guy, you know, purportedly out defending statues, but weeing on a memorial to a dead policeman.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And she said, he wasn't weeing on it. He was weeing next to it.
Yeah.
And this is how fatuous the argument has become.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It gets childish on all sides, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But it's if you concentrate on the good.
It's three men.
Oh, nice.
Three for a girl.
And then I saw this Black Lives Matter activist chatting to this 93-year-old war veteran.
Yeah.
There's good things happening all over.
Absolutely.
You know, there's communications happening all over.
There's always balance, and anything that moves the conversation forward is good. That's why, and the thing is, I think that, and this is just an example, like you say, you don't want to stay wide open, for just keep the dialogue going. But, the conversation about sitcoms and the 40 Towers and stuff.
All right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You kind of think, if you think, I really want things to change and there's systemic issues that need dealing with, and then you think, oh, they've banned Little Britain and I really liked it. I just think you have to say, listen, if you want change, if you want there to be a conversation, it's not always going to go the way you want it to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know
what
I mean? You just... let it ride.
Although, to me, banning stuff isn't...
But they're not banning stuff. You know what I mean? That's why people get really fired up because things get taken off Netflix. It's all marketing. It's all market forces. You know, if you want to watch Little Britain, order yourself some DVDs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're not in Stalin's Russia.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's, you know, and it's... And it's funny also when people step up. You know what I mean? You can be the individual who will see the major headline, whatever it might be, and ignore it, and then hear the kind of gossip headline and go,
yes,
this is it, this is where I take my stand.
Yeah. It's sort of it all gets a bit knee-jerk on every side, doesn't it?
That's right. I think the internet is just a terrible place to discuss anything with any kind of nuance.
Should we go left? Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah.
It's beautiful, isn't it? So many people.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It feels like those people came, but I think it's early in the day. You realise it's a runner's paradise. Just nearly all runners.
Yeah.
I mean, even that person, that's a runner. They've just fallen over.
Yeah, they're just relaxing.
Yeah.
And Highgate Woods yesterday was really nice, as you'd expect. Clissold Park. Yeah, everyone's at it. Just waiting for a race.
Yeah. People talking about, it's interesting, someone said, you know, the Manchester rescheduled date is 16 weeks away.
Yeah.
That is a really interesting way to think about it. They're literally saying, I can't see it happening, but you know what I mean?
And it's that, but it might happen, yeah.
And just the fact that it might happen can give shape to your training.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, I feel like, well, I found that very interesting because I feel like I'm at a... aside from the stuff we talked about with vis-a-vis possible death and age, I feel like in the longer game that I'm very happy with my fitness, but I could easily see it as beginning of marathon training.
Yeah, fitness, no, absolutely.
You know, time to up the distance, time to up the pace.
No, I think so, yeah, I think so.
But equally, I don't think I could do that without a date I really believed in.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And it's hard to believe in that at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder what's the cut-off point. I wonder...
It's 26.2 miles. After that, you don't have to run anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Have I misunderstood?
But you're right, though, in terms of, like, 4 months away is the time you'd normally start ramping up for a marathon.
Yeah, yeah. And then suddenly, you know, it's just another day in a week. But then you look at that and think, it changes everything, you know.
Yeah.
Particularly as it's not January the 1st for a run in April. It's
yes, yeah.
It's just right in the middle of the year. And I was remembering the other day, going from that hot London, where I did my sort of, that's my slowest marathon.
Yeah.
Was the hot London. And before that, I did my, crashed out quite badly in New York 12 weeks after my broken toe.
Right.
Anyway, this time, nearly 2 years ago, but more like in August, I'd set it up that Yorkshire Marathon was going to be my last test.
Yeah.
You know, if I couldn't feel fit enough for Yorkshire and do it, run all the way.
Yeah.
Then that was me, you know, no more marathons. But the key part of that thinking process was I was doing all the mileage, I was doing all the training, I was pretty fit.
Yeah.
And I just suddenly realised that, morning magpies, it wasn't enough.
Right.
That I was going to have to push it. I was going to have to be sort of training on top of the training. Because I had this kind of bar.
Yeah.
And the bar had statistically been proven to be almost fit enough to do a marathon.
Right.
It's so hard to up your training when you're doing something, you know?
Yeah.
When it's not from a standing start.
But it's never been more sort of ideal for us, really, if you can get your head around it. There's no gigs. We're not travelling.
Yeah.
You've got a big summer in front of you.
Yep.
What else is there to do, really? Do you know what I mean? So, above and beyond, look after yourself, family, and mind, body, and soul.
Try and earn some money.
Yeah, and try and earn some money. But there's enough space for training, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm enjoying getting early night on a Saturday and getting up on a Sunday and doing something like a long run, you know, just re-establishing that.
Yeah.
Just quite like it, you know.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So you mainly drink on Fridays and Sundays?
I was drinking. I probably drank last week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
So, I haven't had a drink since. And yeah, Rachel's coming back on Tuesday.
Is there lots to sort out?
What? Up north, sort of admin wise. Yeah. Little bits and bobs, yeah. So she's helping her mum with that. My mum's at that stage where it's sort of, there's stuff to be looking after, isn't there? It's in 3 or 4 weeks when it really hits you, isn't it?
Yeah.
The stuff that you can almost be like sort of relief, shock, throw yourself into everything that needs sorting out, you know?
Yeah, the first wave makes sense. We should be on the left. First wave makes more sense than, like you say, the real logistics of getting back to real life.
Yeah.
Our friend, fellow speedy marathoner Dave Williams.
Yeah.
He's talking about his mum, would have been her birthday.
Right.
And but she died last year. And I was just talking with him because his mum had dementia and was in a nursing home. And
right.
Just, you know, there is obviously some guilt attached to it, but just some relief.
Yes, yeah,
that, that they aren't around for this, because it would be incomprehensible, you know.
Really disorientating, yeah.
And not being able to visit would be really tough.
Yes, I mean, yeah.
My mum always had, you know, always had to work with the rocky possibility that one day my dad wouldn't know who she was, you know. And if you suddenly don't see each other for a couple of weeks, that stuff gets exacerbated exponentially. And that's before you even get to the stress of the, you know, the potential for illness. It must be so hard for those people. So hard. And yet you wouldn't, you know, the other choice is pretty final.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot going on back there, wasn't there?
What, those...
The guy with the I have to say...
Bikes with sound systems.
That is one of my... I totally... I wouldn't knock anyone's decision to have a bike with a sound system on it, but I've never clocked a person with a bike with a sound system on it. It didn't feel like trouble. And it's about the angriest time you ever see a bike, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bikes are generally a fairly gentle thing, you know. You get some slightly aggressive cycle couriers. People get very fired up about people jumping lights out in the country.
Yeah.
The kind of cycling equivalent of us can get pretty road claimy.
It can, yeah.
But on the other hand, to really see someone with the sound system cycling around trying to get something started up is... that's probably the angriest bike you'll see.
Yeah.
You know, you said you got an Indian in.
Yeah.
As chief shopper and meal decider.
All right. Yeah.
I tried to shake things up a bit this week.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What's been happening?
On a Sunday, we've been having either a roast.
Yeah.
Or a homemade version of our favourite Thai restaurant meal. And we did the Thai meal in the middle of last week. It's too hot for a roast.
Yeah.
And I achieved a long-held dream by cooking some of my favourite Indian dishes.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so I got all the recipes, sourced all the recipes.
Yeah.
I was going to do a vegetable biryani, but no one wanted it. It was considered too much. So I did some nice basmati rice. But I tried to do it, you know, really to spec, so it was really fluffy and classy, you know.
Yeah.
And I did a...
took a bit of pride in it.
Sag bhaji, so spinach bhaji, not bhaji like, you know, pakora, but like a proper, just a sort of semi-dry spinach curry.
Right.
And a lentil dal.
Sounds good.
Yeah, did it. Got these three recipes up and running, got all the ingredients, cooked it all up. It was exactly... It's quite stressful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dal spat all over the kitchen, like something out of rolled dal.
Right.
Rolled dal.
Yeah.
And but then I served it up. It looked right. I was very pleased, and it was just how I wanted it. And they hated it.
Classic.
My dad says,
the classic punchline
really nice.
to a couple of hours.
It's just really boring.
Yeah.
And then kind of stopped eating it. And my son, he gets sent to my son, what do you think? And he goes, just literally not saying anything. Too nice to say, I hate it.
To reduce them to silence is always an achievement, isn't it?
Yeah, and then my wife's like, no, it's nice. It was so much worse because there was a lot of, it's nice. And they just didn't think that.
You really know early doors, don't you?
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. Straight away. You almost know before they start eating. Just the look.
It was a big project
that
for
they me. Give you, yeah.
Oh, God. Still, I liked it.
Yeah,
I got a lot.
That's the most important thing.
Because it sniffed at so comprehensively.
As long as you liked
it. Yeah, I shoveled it in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one project.
Yeah.
Old friend of mine and her family on Instagram, right since the beginning of homeschooling.
Yeah.
They've been dressing up and Instagramming every day. So every day it's something different. Jazz school, Star Wars school.
Yeah.
You know, the whole family dress up around a theme, which apart from anything else, is very impressive.
Yes,
it is. They're still doing it now.
Yeah.
Coming up with good ideas and stuff. And the other day, it was Von Trapp school.
Oh, nice.
And,
nice.
She got hold of material, like the curtain material.
Yeah.
Maria cuts for all the kids, so they're all in these kind of floral green curtain dresses and play suits and stuff. And she said, another completely pointless lockdown project complete. I love that energy.
Yes.
I can feel that satisfaction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's exactly right.
It's the energy for the pointless and just enjoying the pointlessness of it
exactly.
all.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, I didn't know it, but cooking that meal
was
for a family who comprehensively and politely rejected it.
Yeah.
Exactly the same energy. Decided it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Put it together. Achieved yeah. it. Yeah. Did it.
Pointless.
It's over. Nothing's changed.
That's the error we seem to be in at the moment. Inconsequentialism.
See this sign here with the keep left on it?
Yeah.
Comedy imperative makes you want to run into it so hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't, did I?
No, you didn't. No, you've never
done. Resisted the urge to do the slapstick. That's where I fell over.
Yeah, we're starting to pick up the odd waif and stray now of kids who are there at start of COVID and are now coming back into town for various reasons when it started to clear. So it's starting to get a bit busier as well.
Yeah,
which only increases the sense of chaos.
Is there any? Is the food round still happening from school?
No, it's not actually, which is a real shame.
Yeah,
I actually think that was my
helped you through.
Yeah, it could have been my happiest period of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it gave me structure. I knew I was being useful.
Second to the runs with me.
Yeah, apart from the runs, of course.
With me. Yeah, yeah.
With you.
With me. Yeah.
And the interaction with running commentary.
Yes.
Community.
Yeah.
Apart from that. And all the other good stuff. But no, it was really nice. So I don't know what they're going to do with that. If they're going to do something like that in the summer.
Yeah. I suppose if they do, you know, there's a lot of... Well, they don't know what they're doing with school today. And that's
no, they don't at the moment.
But if the summer holidays are technically holidays, then the same kids who are the ones who've probably been going to school all along are really going to need some support.
They're going to need some food.
Do you recognise this? Here's the corner. There was a skip here.
This is the finish of the...
Well, no, not quite
there's
the finish
of the 10K, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. This is the hill. Look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Towering away from
massive hill. It's like fell running, isn't it, when you turn
Yeah, I mean, look at that. Look at that incline. Are you okay? Try and climb up it.
Yeah, it's
right.
real. It's really
I was just going to say the name of a famous fell runner, and it didn't come to mind.
Josh Naylor.
Yeah, I was going to say... It's like Jeff Wedge.
Yeah.
Who the hell's Jeff Wedge?
Very famous film.
Oh, you know Jeff Wedge.
Jeff Wedge.
Oh, I just went straight up in front of it.
He'd set up at 5 a.m. with a couple of sheep and just be clambering all day.
That's Jeff Wedge.
You won't see him till 7. All he had was a jam butty. 700 kilometres in 12 hours.
Did Bob Graham round. Yeah. 8 times in 8 hours.
But no, this is going to catch you out on the third lap of a 10K of this
Absolutely.
Very, very slight incline.
What a lovely event that was.
Yeah. It'll be back.
It'll be back.
That's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing to remember. It's so difficult not to get caught up in extremes on either side, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you participate in, like, culture, social media, or even just the papers.
Yeah.
Just that sense of... Nothing will ever be the same, or things are irrevocably changed, or most things will return.
Yeah, yeah.
And most people we're going to be okay.
And you can't really decide. Some things will return that shouldn't. Some things won't. That,
yes,
that
yeah,
should.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know, it's all good.
Yeah,
all good. I think that it's fundamentally, it's a human thing, isn't it? We're good at stasis. Part of our resilience toolkit.
Yeah.
Is a sense that this, whatever's happening now, is normal. Yeah, yeah,
yeah
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
what we do.
Yeah, we can get normalised with everything, can't we?
And
yeah.
the problem with that is that means you perceive everything as kind of ongoing.
Yeah.
You really have to manually remind yourself that things change.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time, for better or worse, you know what I mean?
So you get used to the incredible change of lockdown. After a while, you quite like, there's a part of you that quite likes the security of it because you know the boundaries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then things start opening up again and you're fearful of that because
exactly.
something you don't know about.
Oh, yeah, me and the family were talking about this at the weekend. It's like so ready to go out and go elsewhere and do something different. And also really trepidatious about it.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Wondering if we've forgotten how to do stuff.
Yeah.
And other kind of complicated things like the way we interact with people, you know.
Yeah.
Me and you have talked about Zoom.
Yeah.
talking to my daughter again. She's saying, it's so funny seeing a friend because they're so nice to each other.
Yeah.
And she said that when at school, she's just retrospectively thinking, I don't have the time or the energy to be that nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like when you meet your friends on holiday, you know, it's different at school because they're your work colleagues there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you're bumping
along
together.
And that's the kind of train of thought that makes me feel weird, is the sense of being in a comedy dressing room with people and not with, like, you or Jared or Laura Lex, but with the people you sort of know, you sort of don't know.
Yes, yeah.
And generally, you're just in it together, aren't you? That's the great flow of life.
Yeah.
In that moment,
that
person is your best friend, or certainly your best chance for a friend.
And there's an element of getting up to put the face on that you live the world, that you live your life with, isn't there?
Yes.
And you know, you go to work, you're in the dressing room. I've been doing it for 25 years. It doesn't stress me out, but it's still... It's not hanging around the house with your family, is it?
No, no.
It's a different thing, isn't it? And we've had months of not having to do that.
Yeah, and also I think combine that, you know, as has been established early on in this week's podcast, you and I are incredibly old. And and as you get older...
You're literally hanging on by a thread.
And in comedy, when you're a long established comedian, you know, it's strange how you end up accidentally, deliberately, whatever, kind of maintaining aspects of your younger self.
Yeah.
I remember a comedian on stage talking about being single and coming off stage, the person saying, but you've been married to your wife for 8 years, you've got two kids.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, but this is the character,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, that's a very specific, you know, content-based example. But the actual rhythm,
yes,
is there. You know, I'm a massively different person to who I was 5-10 years ago. Let alone 20 years ago when I started comedy.
Yeah.
I did a Q&A the other day.
All right. Yeah.
Talking
of
Zoom.
I remember you chatting about that? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a company. Jolly, and they the way they do it is they get someone in and they use Q&A. I thought it might be a bit more. I thought it was less like Zoom with mates than I thought, and in a way that was really nice for me because it was just total. I was the interviewee, you know.
So, right. So they just interviewed you and
about, you know, all the kind of questions. It's actually good in particular because often we answer these questions on paper.
Right.
And it was nice to be able to do it as a chat. How did you get started?
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And but it was really nice. It was a good idea. But it was that third way. It was that combination of being a professional but without the armour, the toolkit.
Yes, yeah,
of
yeah.
Of the gags
and the gigs and
backdrop.
The acts. Yeah. And how long was that then?
It was 3/4 of an hour.
Right.
Which, of course, if one had to fill a not real audience space
with
jokes would be a very long time.
Yes, it would.
But for a chat, no problem at all.
That sounds good fun.
Yeah. I mean, I did some jokes.
Yeah.
But only, you know,
and
me.
And was it just one person asking you the questions then?
Yeah, everyone, there was like, but other people could.
Right.
But they did the classic Zoom thing. Most people were muted.
Right.
A lot of people were muted and picture off. So
right, okay.
It was just, and then the guy hosting it, you know, he interviewed, he was like, Michael Parkinson, it's really good.
Right, okay, well, that's good. That's good.
Better than Michael Parkinson, actually. You look back now, he was famous for being a great interviewer, wasn't he?
Oh, Parky.
Yeah. I don't think he was that great. I saw him interviewing Gene Kelly the other day.
Yeah.
And you could see him treading on Gene's toes.
I
remember the Meg Ryan incident, do you remember that?
Yes, yeah.
And if you didn't see it, listener, Michael Parkinson had clearly just really, really annoyed Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
And she was like, he was saying, so what are you in the UK for? And she was like, I'm not telling you.
Yeah. he had those iconic interviews with Billy Connolly and Muhammad Ali, didn't he?
Yeah. I think that's the thing. He really needed a huge ego to play against because he perhaps brought a little too much
himself.
Ego himself.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
And I remember my dad saying that. My dad loved him because he was a journalist first, wasn't he?
Yes.
And my dad really liked him as a writer. And then never much liked him as a chat show host. As a super, you know, that was my dad having a little rant when I was about 10. I didn't know what he was talking about. A massive delayed reaction.
Yeah.
Watching him talk to Gene Kelly last weekend and going, oh, yes, what do you mean?
remembrance.
Do you think there's more people doing different things in the park? Still mainly runners.
Yeah, there's a few exercises.
And I thought it would be... It's not too hot, is it? It's still...
No, it's beautiful.
It's a little breeze.
No, it's really, really
nice. A couple of people doing yoga, people with babies, bikes. I was Googling sheds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's another sign.
You've reached that stage.
Things have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, do you know you can get a really small lean-to greenhouse?
Right. Yeah. What to put in your back garden there?
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Nice.
I mean, in real terms, for someone else to put in the back garden. Yeah. Yeah. You can't imagine me doing that. We've got... Our back garden, you know this, is pavement, then decking.
Yeah.
And the decking, he cleared away the ivy, made loads of space. So now you can use that whole space. But the decking is, I mean, it's rotten.
Right.
It's like, you remember when they got the Mary Rose out of Portsmouth Harbour?
Yeah. It's decayed. It's gone. It's gone.
Yeah. And then you walk up, you think, oh, I'll walk out to the table and chairs. And the wood underneath. Octopus tentacle writhes up.
It's not cheap. No. Bit of decking.
No.
Yeah, it's that's been one of the pleasures, hasn't it, for us? Sat out on decking in the sun.
Yeah, couldn't sit on my decking.
No.
Just end up half made of
sink.
Manky old
sink
wood.
Into the rock and rotten decking.
Appeared to be entirely covered in snugs. And my ankle is ankle deep in hardcore. Not that kind of hardcore. Come on, guys.
So what's the rest of the week for you, then? What are you looking... Running-wise, what are you hoping to...
Well, I did... last week gave me a bit of a shake-up.
Yeah.
But I'll be back on it this week. It's nice for me. We're out on Monday, which is unusual. We normally go Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And I think that's good, because I think the last couple of weeks, I haven't upped my mileage, but I've just kind of happily flailed into Monday and Tuesday.
Yes.
And on a 30-mile week... done like 20-25 miles in the first 2 days.
Yeah.
Which leads, you know, it's just not being entirely in control of it. It's
a little bit out of balance.
It's doable, but it's like...
Yeah.
So, I basically run a little bit more sensibly. Probably run about 6 miles-ish tomorrow, Wednesday and Friday. Take a day off on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then go for a fast run.
Nice.
On Saturday morning.
Nice.
I do my plank every day, that's all Monday to Saturday. And then I do full stretching and exercises on Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
I've got my first sort of club session tomorrow night.
Oh,
for
yeah,
ages,
which is why you're saying that online.
Which is why we're doing this on the Monday.
Great. So it's, do you know, like, what it's going to entail, or will they?
Yeah, it's just a group of six of us going around Ali Pali on the grass there and doing like 10 minute bursts with like 2 minute recoveries. We're meant to be doing three of those. I don't know whether I'll manage three.
Yeah.
I haven't done anything fast for a long time.
But that's the great thing, isn't it? It's be so much. You'll do whatever you do, you'll do more than you would have done if you attempted it on your own.
I'll do two, maybe two and a half. But no, it should be. I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah.
It should be nice.
I clocked between here and my house.
Yeah.
I clocked a really nice stretch of road, sort of semi pedestrianised road.
Yeah.
Which is a third of a mile.
Nice.
And I was thinking, one of these days I might go down there, maybe instead of doing a fast 5K, maybe on a different day, or maybe we could do it sometime, is just go down there and use it to get a fast mile.
Do some bursts,
just
three
times up and down.
Yeah. No, that'd be good.
I don't know if it's ideal. You've got to cross a road in the middle that isn't closed to traffic. Yeah. And it's slightly on a hill.
That makes it that bit a little bit faster, though, doesn't it?
I think so. I have found it's quite a new thought for me.
Yeah.
But I think going into lockdown after all those park runs, I remember that those little resets in a park run, when for whatever reason, whether you're turning back or you have to stop and let someone go or it's muddy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just little things that break your rhythm.
Yeah.
But very small things where you can get your rhythm straight back are actually quite healthy because they make you reassert.
Right. Yeah.
You don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I've got a much happier relationship with minor problems like that than I would once have done.
It's like an army, isn't it?
Yeah.
So many people, it's great.
Yeah. That was an impressive topless man.
Yeah.
Almost referring to. Yeah, I didn't get a photo.
Yeah, a photo. There's a few of them around.
I showed the kids. In fact, it was all, if it hadn't been for, it wasn't quite as much of a bust as the Indian meal, but it was somewhat comparable in terms of the family response. But I sat them all down to Terminator 2 on Saturday night.
Oh, yes. I saw that post, yeah.
The thing
well,
is,
they're not fans.
I get it. I think, you know, they did enjoy it. Daisy said it's not for me, but she sees the point. My son thought it was really cool. My wife didn't like it at all. She doesn't like sci-fi. She doesn't like dystopia.
Right.
It's not for her.
Yeah.
But she respects it. And I was saying to them, I just want to show you this. It's like a moment in time. You know, we've got like a Saturday night blockbuster season. That's when we watch Steven Spielberg films. And
yeah, good idea.
This kind of thing, you know. So it's relevant. But also for me, that was just such a moment, you know.
Yeah.
I was on holiday with my mum and dad in the place where we always used to go. But I was, it's like your kids, I would have been about like 19 or something.
Yeah.
And so me and my friend were there, and my brother was there with his girlfriend, and it was sort of a family holiday, and it sort of wasn't. And then me and my mate, there was a late night preview show at the little cinema in Keswick.
Right.
The Alhambra. And we got tickets, and we took girls we'd met who worked in the hotel.
Oh, nice.
It wasn't a date. It was a date.
Quite exciting.
Yeah. And we went to...
Those are the days.
In my mate's car, which, of course, was actually his dad's car.
Yeah.
A gold Cavalier.
Wow.
You
were cool cats.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Went into Keswick, blaring out.
Driving into Keswick.
The unstoppable sex machine.
In a gold car. With two girls from the hotel.
Took
these two out
took
of town?
Our seats in the front row slightly after the film had begun. That's right. After the film had begun. I don't think I've ever done that at any other time in my life.
Yeah.
And and then again, a week later, I went to see it with all my mates from home and in Oxford.
Yeah.
We're in the queue. And some other friends, like from different sort of friendship group there as well, and I went to say hello to them. And my friends all went in.
Right.
And it was really busy, though. You couldn't buy tickets. There was someone queuing to get in. And they went in. I was like, oh, well, that's that. And then someone I knew turned out to work at the cinema.
Oh, what?
And he said in front of, like, everyone in Oxford wanting to go. It was like Zoolander at a nightclub.
Yeah.
You know, he went...
It's like Goodfellas.
In you go.
Yeah, yeah, being anointed.
Oh, yes!
Major triumph.
Do you remember the advert, the Bacardi, taking the night bus home?
Right.
Talking Duck, down the high street. And it was all pictures of Caribbean islands.
Yeah.
So, Auntie Muriel. And at the end of the advert, the voice said into the darkness, if you're drinking Bacardi. And my mate Nick said, oh, sod off. And like about 150 people laughed.
I had one of those moments watching watching an army recruitment advert.
Yeah.
Where they were like telling people to join the army. And it was a time.
To be frank.
Yeah, I remember.
Maybe not.
I remember sort of doing some sarky riposte and really breaking up the cinema.
Yeah, yeah.
What's a nice moment? Is this it?
Oh, great. This is St. Agnes Gate.
Okay, cool.
And your car's near here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah, yeah.
This is, for clarity, listener, this is the gate we were supposed to meet at. But of
what
course,
nice
before stuff. We did Running Comptry, I thought that I was really good at maps and organisation, but I don't think I've ever done it for us without getting it a little bit wrong.
You live and learn. If you want to...
You live.
Well, you live just. While we're talking about things to watch, we've been watching...
Go on, I'm listening.
This absolutely... I don't know if I mentioned it last week. I don't think we watched it last week. This So Bad It's Good thing on Netflix called Sweet Magnolias.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I thought for a minute you were watching Steel Magnolias.
No, it's... It's set in sort of Serenity Village in the deep south, and it's full of good old girls and good old boys, and it's complete soft focus nonsense.
Yeah.
But really hypnotic and quite hard to stop watching once you start watching it. It's so comforting, you know. It's like a bubble bath, you know.
Yeah,
nothing in it's going to freak you out at all.
There was a moment a few years ago when me and my wife got into watching a show called Providence.
All right,
which is like that. It's just a woman who goes to run a hospital, and her ex-partner is there, and his brother.
Yeah,
it's just soap opera, essentially, but just in a shiny other place.
But really high production value soap opera. And nothing remotely bad can happen.
No,
that's quite nice, actually.
Yeah,
at the
that's right.
So that's my hot.
Do you know what that is?
Week.
It's something you can. It's a project you can do and complete, and then you get to the end and have the satisfaction of knowing it was completely pointless.
Things got so bad that this was deemed worthwhile entertainment.
Hey, but I do. It's nice to realise. I did have a wave of remembering and realising that. A, we have managed to do this all the way through.
Which is great. And that's down to you, as we said.
No, well
in terms of logistics.
But you're the one, you said we're not going to stop, and that was it. You set me off, so that's where we're at.
And I forget
that because we're so relaxed about it, but it's been wonderful. And also, I want to say this, that, well, everyone online is, you know, you haven't taken that for granted. We've had so much appreciation.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been fantastic.
And I will say, and this is an embarrassing one, not embarrassing one, but it's a difficult one to say. We love doing this for you guys, and we want the running commentary to be entirely free at point of get for anyone at any time. And our business model is based on sponsorship and so on and stuff like that. But Acast have provided the button, a support button.
Really?
And I think we should tell you about this because a lot of you did get in touch and say we'd like to support you in the lockdown. And you certainly don't have to. But
they actually came. I think
to,
they came to us with this, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. They're doing this for their podcast.
All right.
So if you go to our page of the Running Comedy on Acast, there is a button there where you can, should you so wish, like, chuck us a fiver or whatever, but you know, we're not saying you should.
A coffee, some running socks.
Exactly, or just a smiley face.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of you absolutely lovelyly did offer to do that, and it can be done. So
the
there
option,
you go.
The option.
And now
there.
I've said it, I don't have to embarrass myself anymore.
I thought you did that very well.
And this Victoria Park was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was really nice.
We went somewhere different. These
and I felt better. I felt better during the run. I feel better now than I did before.
Well, of course, it was only last night, wasn't it, that you didn't feel well? I think.
Yeah.
That's
actually like
you seem pretty fit out there.
6 hours ago. How long did we run? We didn't run that long, did we?
No, that's a good question. What's 8 minus 2.5?
8 minus 2.5 is 5.5.
5.5.
Right, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's acceptable in the sun. And then you're going to run another 2.5 miles back?
Yes.
Right.
But I'm fine for that. I'm slightly. Just won't necessarily do it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think both of us can completely relax about our chest pains.
He says, clutching it in the sun, just craving sweet magnolias, soap opera caress.
Tell you, I'm not casting accusations here, but I bet you haven't watched Judy and Julia yet, have you?
I haven't actually, no. Should I be watching that as well? Would that give me sort of the same vibe?
It's so cosy. It's so nice. It's grown up, you know, because Nora Ephron, and she's already made all those other films that we know and like.
Okay.
You know, so you've got that happy, cosy rhythm of You've Got Mail and Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah.
And but it's a different story, and Meryl Streep and Stanley Tucci are so excellent.
I love old Tucci.
They're such a good double
act. I love old Tucci, yeah.
And, just watch it. Seek
it
out.
I'll give it a go. I'll give it a go once she gets back.
Get in there. Yeah, watch it. It'd be best to watch with your wife.
I've got Sunday.
That's who I watched it with.
Sunday, you mentioned it. Got Sunday Roast on tonight. Sunday roast on a Monday.
Good.
Due to the lack of interest yesterday. So
yeah.
Well, that's what you want, isn't it, on a baking hot day?
That's right.
Get those really hot roast potatoes. Sort
meanwhile, I'll be doing the pasta pesto that we always have on Monday because the whole "we should eat different things and try different stuff" project was so widely ignored and rebuffed. And plus, a couple of weeks ago, my daughter was helping cook pasta pesto on a Monday. I'll ask her later if she wants to help me. Do you know what she's going to say?
No. Why would they do that when you're more than willing to provide us with disappointing food?
I mean, it's nice. It's just so boring.
I'm just getting you lost now while we walk to the car.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave it. Listen, thank you for joining us. I'm sorry it started off so so medical this week. It was, but I had to break the ice and talk about it initially because it was in my mind.
Yeah, of course. I felt a bit
vulnerable, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Arriving, so sometimes you just got to talk through those things.
Yeah, and that's the thing about us talking every week. You've got to talk about what's really happening.
Yeah.
But I think you're all right.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.